It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
He kind of agreed with what you and I thought earlier, Andy.
Yep.
Yeah, Deshaun Watson probably can't imagine maybe being the starter, and Jameis Winston could be the starter next year. There's that possibility. And I think that's fair. I think it's interesting. And I would like to see it happen. You know why? I want this team to have a starting quarterback. I want them to be locked in on somebody, and I want them to play well enough to make you think, yep, he can be the guy. It's pretty simple.
Are they willing to give the quarterback that has the best opportunity to win the shot to be the starting quarterback? While that might be said, I don't know. I thought actions spoke louder than words this year. Especially after we watched the Baltimore game, we're like, well, what do you think they were thinking? You know, before the Baltimore game, would anyone have thought that Jameis wasn't better than Deshaun at that point? I don't know. Again, part of it has to do with Baltimore being weak in their secondary, and that, you know, there was an opportunity for Jameis to hop on it and let's go, right? So that happened there, and who knows? Maybe Deshaun might have had the same kind of success. I think fans are just kind of scratching their head trying to figure out, are they putting the best quarterback out on the field to win games? And, you know, what we saw what the Chargers look like against Jameis. So I think there's mixed emotions on this, and it might also cause some of the uncertainty, the uneasiness of trying to figure out what the future is for the Browns offense.
JJ's in Cleveland. Hi, JJ.
Hey, how y'all doing? Good afternoon, fellas.
Hey. Fine, thank you.
My call. First off, I'm going to say I agree with Daryl. We need a stopgap. But, you know, Deshaun, that's who it is. Why are we missing the fact that in the Baltimore game, he almost threw freaking four picks? I'm talking four easy drop picks. If it wasn't for their receiver dropping the pass, we would have easily lost that game. The week before, he threw almost four picks. Come on.
But he didn't. I could walk downstairs and pick some numbers for the lottery, and he almost won the lottery.
Yeah. He threw three interceptions.
How many 300-yard games? No matter what, but that's what he does. We know that.
Okay, so why do we want that? I would rather take Deshaun. He didn't have no time in the beginning of this season. Our offensive line was wrecked. No running back.
I just want to ask you, JJ, real quick. How much different was our offensive line against Baltimore than it was in the beginning of the season? It was about the same. There are stats out there that will show you that Jameis just gets rid of the ball faster, and that's going to make the offensive line look better. You know that, right?
We're on the same page. It doesn't matter. Yes, but it doesn't matter when you're still throwing picks. That doesn't matter.
Let's see what he does.
I'm sure the same thing happened in practice. He probably was throwing picks crazy in practice. That's why the coach said he wasn't the better quarterback at the time. Let's not fool ourselves and say Jameis Winston
I'm sorry, I'm cutting you off. Let's see what he does, okay? Let's just see what the guy does.
I'm smelling a poll. Who's a better quarterback? I don't feel like
let's just see what he does. I mean, can we be honest and just say, okay, he's thrown interceptions in the past. I mean, okay, let's see what he does. You're 2-7. I mean, why not, right?
Yeah.
And if he can figure it out a little bit and tighten up that aspect of his game, maybe you have something here. And if not, then you go find somebody else. I mean, at this point, it's really that simple. It really is.
True.
Coming up, by the way, at 12:20, we're going to talk to Bob Golic. Former Browns nose tackle, Bob, radio guy in the Akron market for many years. Of course, nose tackle, Hollywood guy. We love Bob. He's coming up. And then Askin Baskin and Phelps Helms coming up. Woo-hoo! At 12:40. We've been meaning to talk about a gentleman who passed away this week, a couple of times this week, and I want to take the time to do that now. Former University of Akron head coach, former Notre Dame head coach, Cincinnati Molar legend Jerry Faust, passing away, and coach was 89 years old and passed away earlier this week. And, you know, everybody will remember Jerry as the 5-year coach at Notre Dame, who did a great job of serving the university and probably not the job they wanted as the football coach. Then came to Akron when they were transitioning to try to become a D1 program, and he replaced Jim Dennison, who did a great job there. And that was kind of
Dennison went on to be the AD when he came
in.
Right?
Yeah, but it was a very awkward situation. Coach Dennison was very good, and it was awkward, and Jerry handled it with class and did a nice job at Akron. And just, he's one of those guys that if you've ever met Coach Faust, if you ever had the opportunity, he was, and I've read some things since, you know, since he passed, and I thought, well, that's exactly the guy that I knew a little bit. Just one of the most optimistic, positive people I've ever met in my life. And he's beloved at Notre Dame, even though he didn't do a great job there as the head football coach. And I got two things that I want to make sure I mention. I'm at Akron covering an Akron practice doing a story when I was working at Channel 43. And had already talked to Coach, you know, hey, whatever you guys need, blah, 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 blah. He was, you know, more than helpful, right? So, and then I'm looking, and I just observed this. Didn't notice. And I hear, you know, I hear his coach's whistle blow, right? And I thought, wait a minute. And I turned and I looked, and I'm watching, and he's not wearing a whistle. And I thought, what the? And I just watched him. And so they run another play, and he blows the whistle again to stop the play. And you know that coach's whistle sound,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, the brrr, that the high-pitched thing. With he didn't have one. He did it just with his mouth.
What?
And it sounded exactly like the coach's whistle, the referee whistle. It was exactly like that. And I went up to him afterwards. I said, hey, coach, what's the deal? And he said, Jeff, and if you ever talk to coach, he was like, oh, he was always excited, you know, always excited like that.
Had that raspy voice.
Exactly. He said, when we started at Molar, we didn't have any money. We had no budget at all. I couldn't afford whistles, so I just figured it out on my own. And I thought that was great. It just cracked me up. And so we did a story on that, all right, that he did this whistle. It was just phenomenal. The first game ever at InfoCision Stadium, Akron's new football stadium, that unfortunately has not been what they were hoping it would be. It's a great place to watch a football game, though. It really is. Nice facility. It was not planned to be televised, and it was Akron against Morgan State. And I had done some work with the folks at Akron leading up to that on the stadium and everything else, and they called and said, hey, we want to record this game and do it on television, but it's not on television. Will you do this game? I said, sure, absolutely. And you're going to work with Coach Faust. And I thought, oh, that'll be fun. So Jerry and I did the first game ever at InfoCision Stadium together. And it only was recorded and handed out to folks at Akron.
Really?
So that they would have it for posterity. It's so much fun to do a football game with Coach Faust. And then he lived in the same area I did. His grandkids were playing in some of the same sports leagues that my kids were playing in.
Cool.
And I'd see him out and about and always remembered your name, always greeted you, always made sure you felt like important because the way he approached you, and he did that with everybody. And just a really great guy. And I want to send our thoughts to his family. A terrific, terrific guy. And, you know, legendary high school football coach.
Well, let me spit some of those numbers out.
Yeah,
I mean, especially with state playoff. I mean, think about this. First of all, I have to believe this is right. 1980 was the first year they went from AAA to Division I, right? He won the first ever Ohio Division I state championship with Molar, and they won that game. But what's amazing is when you go back and you wonder, how does a high school coach end up getting a job at Notre Dame?
Yeah.
And you go back and look.
It's stunning, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he went 18 years at Molar, right? And then his last, eight seasons? One, two, three, four, five, six. 8 seasons at Molar, He was 90-3. They were 90-3, and they won five state championships. They won five state championships from 73-80. And that's just, I mean, first place was not uncommon. I look back at his career, and you have to look at it in awe. He had one bad year, his first year, 1962.
And they were starting the program.
Yeah, and they came in fifth place that year. And they never saw the other side of third in the Greater Catholic League down in Cincinnati after
which
that.
Which is a tough league.
Yeah, so amazing. But it just, I mean, I didn't really get a chance.
A great coach, Andy, but yeah. And you hear this, and it sounds trite. I can tell you, with this man, it is absolutely true. A better human being than he even was a football coach.
It's just
a tremendous guy.
I think I met him once.
I feel for the Akron folks. I feel for his family. And on the other hand, he had 89 years of Jerry Faust, and that's awesome because he was a terrific guy.
Yeah, the funeral arrangements are in Fairlawn. They're posted online, so I've seen some of the stuff.
Also?
Friday and Saturday. So I think there's viewing on Friday and Saturday. Just check it out online if you want to see it, if you're interested.
I'm out playing golf. Yeah. And my kids with me playing golf.
Yeah.
There's some twosome behind us in a cart coming up like, you know, bats out of hell.
Yeah.
Catch up on the tee. Coach, Jeff, how you doing? I said, good, you guys are flying. Go. Okay, great. We play fast. Boom, boom.
Really?
He hit a shot. It was terrible. Bye, guys. Boom, he goes. He said, I'm not very good. Boom, he just kept going. But it was fun. And so our thoughts are with the Faust family and this and the folks at the University of Akron, where he was always a presence even after he was no longer the football coach. So great for
him. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For him. Mr. Bob Golic, former Browns nose tackle. Hello, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, crap. Do I need a code word to get to go? Or
I think you're good.
Okay. Okay, good then. How you doing, guys?
We're doing well.
Thanks for being with us. Are you pumped about the cruise?
Yeah, it should be fun, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
I haven't been on a cruise since, probably the 80s. And I was sitting next to, you guys are probably too young, I was sitting next to Frank Gorshin.
The original Riddler.
At the original Batman. So.
Yeah.
He wasn't as nice and fun as he was on Batman.
Really?
Yeah, he was kind of cranky.
So did you learn a lesson about Hollywood right there?
Well, at that point, I just assumed he was old and cranky. And then when I got out there and I started working with the kids, I'm going, see, they're just wonderful. And then some of them turned kind of cranky, and I just said, you know what, I got to get the hell out of here.
You know, I mentioned this earlier on in the show, and I said, I'm going to ask you about this. Okay. And I hope you remember, and I hope you weren't making it up back then, because it's been one of my favorite stories ever since I've been working in this business. You told me years ago that you knew it was time to leave Hollywood after you went on an audition. Do you remember this?
I went on an audition, and my agent had sent me some what they call sides, which are part of the script that you go in and you do an audition, read it with the casting person. And it also gives a description of the person you were supposed to be. And I'm looking at a description, and it said this character, a mid to late 30s ex-NFL player type, like Bob Golic or Lyle Alzado. And I'm going, well, crap, I should try out for this. And so, I mean, I went in so cocky, and I didn't get it.
How did you not get it?
Can I come back in as Lyle, maybe?
I don't know. The only good news is that the show didn't go, and so I didn't have to watch some dweeb play me. So
that's insane. That's Hollywood, though,
at
right?
That point,
that's Hollywood.
That's what I started thinking. Because you do auditions, you start with a talent person, and then you get then it goes up, and then finally, like I'm Saved by the Bell, I ended up reading for the network themselves. But you start with kind of not really, they don't really know. They don't have anything to do with the show other than they're running the audition. And I've told myself that they didn't really know what they were looking for, or he didn't know what he was looking for. Because why else would he not pick me? And so I've been able to get through life knowing I failed there, but blaming it all on him.
To this day, Bob, it's one of my favorite stories that anybody has ever told me. And it's like, wait a minute, I am Bob Golic. And you didn't get it.
My agent called me, and he couldn't stop laughing. And I said, "What are you laughing about?" He goes, "You didn't get the part playing Bob Golic." I said, "Oh, crap."
That's so
funny. I mean, hell, if somebody else would have offered me roles, I probably would have gone. But I knew at that point that the acting in the Hollywood was political and stupid and just like everything else. So you just kind of have to sit back and hope for the best.
If I can say, that aspect of your life kind of fits with so many other things, because you're a guy who reinvented himself numerous times. You know, from being a linebacker with the Patriots, you come home and play for the Browns, and they turn you into a nose tackle.
Yeah.
How'd that happen?
Well, at Notre Dame, I was a middle linebacker. About 20% of the time, they'd move me up on the nose, but I was 250 pounds, so I would jump through gaps and stuff. But ultimately, I was the old, the Ray Nitschke, the Dick Butkus type of guy. You know, you don't have to cover people deep. You don't have to do a whole lot of stuff. You just got to stop people from running through and beat them up. And I was pretty good at that at Notre Dame. So I went to the Patriots, and they after a while, I got hurt the first year. After a while, I came to the realization, hey, they actually play man-to-man coverage. What the hell is that? Because in college, we just kind of drop back and look for somebody to crossing into our zone. So I would run up and try to tackle the running back before he got out of the backfield. They said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm allowed to hit him behind the line of scrimmage, and that way he won't be able to go run up." He goes, "You can't do that." I said, "Oh, crap. I thought I had you on a technicality." But then I came to the Browns, and I drove home. My dad called my dad. He goes, "Bobby, don't worry. I just got a call over here. The Chicago Fire wants you." I'm like, "What the hell is the Chicago Fire?" It was like, I don't know, it was like the World Football League or something. All I remember is that they had pretty cool helmets. And I'm thinking, oh, no, I can't believe it's over. Next day, I got a call from the Browns. And Bill Davis was the director of player personnel at the time. Evidently knew my background, wrestling in high school, wrestling in college, all that stuff. And when he called me back, he called me and he said, "Listen, we know you've got a background as a wrestler, and everything you do as a wrestler, because we don't need a linebacker, we need a nose tackle." He said, "Would you come in and play nose tackle?" And I was like, "God, I know nobody actually volunteers to play nose tackle." So I said, okay. But he had said that because of my wrestling background in high school, it was all about strength, control, balance, all those things. He goes, that's what being a nose tackle is about. At that point, he didn't tell me about double team traps with Mike Webster and Craig Wolfley, but it's probably better he kept that to himself. So I went in there, and so When I got to the Browns, a couple days later, I was in Los Angeles. It was the last preseason game, and I was 240 pounds, because they figured that if I lost some, the Patriots had figured if I lost some weight, that I'd be faster, and I proved them wrong. So anyway, I'm 240 pounds. They said linemen have to wear braces on their knees. I'm like, what the hell? And I, you know, they slapping these braces on my knees, and I'm, you know, I'm like, I don't know. I just hardly move. Then I line up right on Dave Dalby, the old great center, and I start calling games where I can loop around to the outside. And I come around the corner. I'm like, all right, nobody's hit me. And I see Gene Upshaw back there waiting for me. And I'm thinking, okay, go down underneath him, go around. And by the time I had anything figured out, I just ran right into him. And that is never a good thing. So
he didn't say pay your union dues, did he?
No. Oh, you know, I would tell you some good stories, but, you know, those who have passed, I don't want to. I talked enough bad stuff about him when he was alive. I'm done now that he's passed.
Okay. All right. Well, let me go in this direction with you, especially with the cruise coming up. And when you're like, when you're out and about around Northeast Ohio and, you know, not on the air, I'm just curious. Well, most people, when they come up to you, do they want to talk Browns? Do they want to talk Notre Dame? Do they want to talk Saved by the Bell? Because I got to feel like everybody feels like they know you. They want to talk wrestling? They want to talk St. Joe's? I mean, I can't.
You got like five different careers,
and
Bob.
And so many different paths that you've met so many, you know, between you and your brothers, right? Like, you guys have had such an impact in our community.
Well, you know, and that's right. I mean, with five different careers, I could basically lie about five different things, tell stories, but and it's weird. It depends on the age group.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you get a lot of the younger people are going, I was on Saved by the Bell. And, I loved you on Saved by the Bell. Then some of the kids that are teenagers are going, oh, my God, you know, my grandma loves you. I said, what? And I'm so used to saying, back then I was used to hearing people say, oh, man, my sister's got the hots for you. And now we've made it up to, my grandmother loves you. And I said, okay, well, tell her to get her teeth in and fun over. it's kind of a balance. One of the things I did in acting was Billy Crystal's brother called me up one time, or actually came to meet me one time. He wanted me to join a show. I said, what made you come here? He goes, I watched all your interviews after the games, and you seemed kind of weird. And I said, okay, thank you very much. And I went on a show called Home and Family, which was on the ABC, I think it was Lifetime or ABC Family Channel, with Michael, now who was it? Chuck Woolery.
Oh, yeah.
Two and two. He was the
host. Connection guy.
It was a host. It was Chuck. A whole house that they would shoot different things, interviews, and go over and do crafts and, you know, do things like that. So it was a 2-hour thing. And I came in one time and built a kind of a redwood plaything outside. And they said, hey, God, you were great. I said, what, can you do anything else? And I said, well, I just sewed my daughter a dress. Or I just built my daughter a dress. They said, you built a dress? I said, well, whatever, you know, whatever it's called. They said, could you come in and build a dress for us? And so I ended up on that show a lot. And at the time I was also at CNNSI, and there used to be like tours of women going through there, checking the place out. And they were going, Bob, Bobalicious, Bob. And I'm just like going, stop it. There's football people around here. So, don't mix them. But
that's great.
I figure someday my funeral is going to be very eclectic.
Well, you've definitely had a diverse life.
Bob Golic joining us, former Browns nose tackle, former actor on Saved by the Bell, current radio man, former Raider. You came home and played for your hometown team.
Yeah.
How was that experience? Was as hometown guys, Andy and I think that would be awesome. Is it awesome? Is it challenging? How is it?
I need tickets, Bob. I need tickets.
It was challenging for my dad because everybody called him for tickets.
Yeah.
And my dad said, hey, you know what? There's this gate. Go down to the gate B and go in there and tell them you're looking for tickets. And they said, then who do I ask for? And he goes, we don't ask for anybody. Just pay for them. But, you know, when they picked me up, I was kind of really worried about moving to nose tackle. You know, I didn't know much about it. But when I first got on the field, I couldn't believe the feeling. And, you know, it's become so business-like now with all the money and the contracts and stuff. I just remember, for me, it felt like college. It felt like an extension of Notre Dame. It felt like that the, you know, you had all your fans and the students are up there. And I felt like I was a part of this city, and I was out there playing for the students. I was playing for the fans. I really felt connected to so many people. It was absolutely one of the most amazing things I'd ever experienced. And I don't think that many people get a chance that are playing, get a chance to feel that kind of connection. But it was, I mean, I was one of the only guys besides Art Modell who drove in from the east side, and they'd have signs hanging over the overhangs. Go get them, kill them, tear them up. You owe me $20, you know, things like that. And but it was just so cool. And one of the first times I went down, I always talked to my dad before I play. He would come. You remember we would go into that dugout, My dad would come down. He was trying to get down. All his people are all around. All the fans are all around, and he's trying to come over here where I can get to him. And I'm still in the field. And I said, "Hey, can you let my dad through?" And they go, "Oh, just call." And they let him through. We did our whole thing. Hey, good luck to you. My dad would always say, "Who's the best one out there, Bobby?" And my answer is, "I am, Dad." It was kind of a ritual. But from then on, all 7 years, before every game, he was standing right in that spot because everybody moved aside and escorted him down. All the fans escorted him down to that spot by the dugout. And it was, I don't know, it just felt like family.
That's cool. That's really cool. Bob Golic, our guest. Bob's going to be on the Browns fan cruise. If you enjoyed listening to Bob now,
oh man, how much fun!
Imagine at the blackjack table in the buffet.
Yes,
I've got other stories to tell too.
Well, Bob, great to have you with us. The cruise is coming up in March. You can get an opportunity and check it out. And you hanging out with all your old teammates, that could be way too much fun.
Yeah, you know, I actually went on the website and I didn't see my picture, and I'm a little tiffed right now.
So. We can work on that.
Yeah,
we know people.
Okay. And by the way, when they hand you the bill, remember to use that code FAN2025, and you'll save $200.
You got it. And okay, FAN25, gotcha. Okay, I'll take care of it, man. Thank you,
Bob. Thanks. Always great to have you with us. Thank you, buddy.
Right. Thank you,
Bob Golic, former Browns nose tackle, 3-time Pro Bowler. At nose tackle, after being a linebacker.
How about All-American in wrestling, too? I mean, dude was serious. Amazing. Amazing.
Dude was serious. Joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.